Welcome. Welcome to Trans in Love,
a podcast
where we talk about being trans
and in love.
Hey, that's a really good intro.
I love that.
We didn't plan that.
No, we didn't. I hope you enjoyed our jingle that we have yet to write or record.
We're going to record it and we're going to write it.
And then record
and
it.
And record it after this.
So I hope you liked it, but it's really good.
We just wanted to get into the meat before we get into the appetizers.
Yeah. Talk more about meat.
I'm going to talk about meat. It's for dinner.
It's for lunch.
It's for breakfast.
And dessert. I just listed all the meals. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling like the world is our oyster. I feel like we're starting something new and different, mm-hmm. and that's really good for marriage.
Something that no one's ever done before.
Start a podcast. Yep.
Yeah, we're the first ones to ever do it. I know it's like a running joke that everyone is like, who here has a podcast? And then like everyone raises their hands and it's just like, yeah, we get it. Everyone has a podcast, but we don't.
We couldn't raise our hands.
We couldn't raise our hands because we don't have a podcast, but now we do.
Now we do. And we've been talking about this for a very long time now.
We have.
Remember when we were Twitch stars for one moment?
That was so weird of us.
I thought that was cute.
It was cute. But what was weird was that we tried to play games.
Yeah, we don't even really do games.
No.
We tried to play computer games from the early 2000s.
Addicting games.
Yeah. And
that was so fun.
Then it was like glitching and we didn't like that because we like when things are really perfect.
Yeah, there wasn't that instant gratification, and I think we got bored because it was a lot of work.
I remember there was like this like quota you had to hit in order to start getting monetized on Twitch. We had 20 minutes remaining on our quota if we wanted to be monetized the next month, and we couldn't get ourselves to go live for 20 more minutes.
Why are we like this?
Just to get money at the end.
Wow.
We like weren't motivated by that.
No, we weren't.
Even though that was the reason we started it.
Yeah, because we're like, let's make money.
So much money.
Let's monetize our relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are.
Pay us.
If you'd like to pay us.
Well, I think
we
wanted to start this podcast because we have made content together for pretty much our whole relationship.
Yeah.
But it's always been super short form.
Yeah.
And really sketchy.
Yeah, sketch forward.
Sketch forward.
Like sketches. And the thing is, it takes like a certain state of mind to get to the point where you are like performing a sketch.
Yeah.
And I think it's felt intentionally inauthentic because you're performing, but I think it's been hard to get to that place because
we've been depressed.
Depression.
We've been depressed. We moved to Mexico from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
From Los Angeles.
That's the first thing that I wrote down that's on my mind.
Oh. So we're doing a little loose format.
Loose.
And we're going to write down three things that are on our minds every
You brought
episode.
Up meat and you brought up loose.
Thank you.
What are you trying to send me subliminal messages?
About hamburgers.
About Sloppy Jones.
Sloppy Jones.
Anyway, yeah, we're going to do a loose little format where we just talk about what's on our minds, respectively, and then go back and forth and share and
talk about
things.
Can you believe we had to write that down?
Can you believe?
we were
brainstorming.
So
we're going to... All right, let's crunch the numbers.
How can we do this?
How can we make this incredible and never been done before? What if we...
Say what's on our mind, but only three things.
Only three things. It's a loose meat. It's loose meat.
It's loose meat.
Loose meat.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
That's our intro.
So yeah, that thing that's been on my mind is the truth about how much I love living in Mexico, which is really cool.
That is beautiful.
I know. I love it here. I love the journey, even though it hasn't been easy. There's been ups and downs, mountains and valleys, tits and tats. I feel like
creases and crevices,
meat and loose. And I just feel like there's a freedom I feel here that I did not feel in the States in regards to the possibilities of our dreams coming true when it comes to raising a family, living in a beautiful place, which we lived in a beautiful place in Los Angeles.
We did, but we were...
It felt unsustainable.
We were also trapped there because it felt like if we didn't spend every day in Laurel Canyon at our house, we were like wasting money.
Right, exactly.
Because rent was so high. It was like, I didn't want to go on any sort of vacations ever. And I didn't know why until we left. And then I was like, oh, I was paying rent. So I wanted to be there. Yeah.
And we had no money to spend on vacations. But the thing that's interesting is that now that we're here in Mexico, we're making less money because we don't have to make as much money. So it kind of feels like that feeling is kind of like creeping
still
up.
Here
but the truth is that we like the things that we spend money on are like practical things that we couldn't afford in Los Angeles, like having laundry done, having a gardener, having
we don't have a gardener.
I can't afford you. No, I can afford you, baby.
You bought me a weed whacker.
Yeah, I bought you a weed whacker.
Said, this is from me. Yeah. So, because you're going to be doing the labor.
Happy birthday, baby.
We were at the checkout line. And Mel said, this is from me.
This is a gift for you, a weed whacker. It took like three hours for you to whack those weeds.
Yeah. It's a big lawn.
Yeah, I don't think that's sustainable.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
It's a big lawn, and we found this house specifically because we were looking for a place where we could have our dogs like really get to run around freely, and they have that now.
Yeah, they do.
And
they love it.
We moved into a gated community here.
It's just hilarious.
Which we weren't doing on purpose.
No.
We found this place when we were on a trip in New York after living in Mexico for like 3 months already. And then we had this trip planned in New York. We went to New York after this kind of drama happened where we had to flee because of my some family issues.
It was so dramatic.
It was very dramatic.
You said, honey, we're leaving.
Honey, we're leaving.
I was already in tears crying all day. I get you.
It's
Let's
so hot.
Pack. We packed.
We packed so fast.
And we had a bed in the living room because we were like, we make the own rules. Like, let's lounge.
We make the own rules.
And then we make the own rules. And then we put the bed back in the bedroom.
Yeah.
That was crazy. We did not need to do that, but I'm
glad
we did.
I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's leave no trace.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave as little trace as possible.
Right.
Mostly as a fuck you to my dad.
Yeah. Anyway, we fled. And then we stayed with some friends here in this new city that we're in. City? Town.
It's a town.
It's a town.
It's a town near Chapala, which is a city.
And we went to New York, and then our friends looked at some places for us, and this place popped up, and we love it.
We were like, we'll take it. And we had not seen it. Our friends came and like filmed the tour, and then the whole tour they were like making commentary, just being like, do you want to switch with us?
Want to trade houses?
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And we were like watching that video in slow motion, just like frame by frame, just being obsessed with the house.
Yeah, but it felt so good. Like it just felt like all my entire body was saying like, this is the house. And ultimately, my body is still saying that. And also, you know, there have been some challenges with the house, like plumbing. And
oh, that's on my list.
Oh, plumbing. Okay, then talk about plumbing.
Well, okay. So listen, I worked as a plumber.
Okay.
And I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm passionate about plumbing. My dad owns a plumbing company.
I feel like the people of the internet don't know how good you are at plumbing.
They don't.
Yeah.
So I was raised by a plumber who, the owner of a plumbing company, big deal. And he was really thorough and very good at his trade. It's one of the only things he's really, really just put his heart and soul into. Mm-hmm. And he passed a lot of the info on to me.
Yeah, you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to pipes and...
Copper, soldering.
Soldering.
PVC.
First
ABS.
Time you soldered was scary for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it. Do you know what soldering is?
It requires a torch.
A torch. You're just torching.
It requires a torch.
It was so scary. I thought you were going to hurt yourself.
I have.
Yeah.
Plenty of times.
Yeah, totally.
But I was the kid that was playing in my dad's van, like sneaking soldering equipment so that I could like build cool sculptures and stuff out of really expensive copper pipes. Those are not cheap. But I didn't know it at the time. I was just like, I'm making something cool. And my dad liked it because he was like, I'm going to pass this business on to you one day. So that was the whole plan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Pass the torch, if you will. From solder to son.
Whoa.
No, or father to
solder. Solder to daughter.
From daughter to solder. You transitioned. From
So, anyway, the plumbing here is no joke.
Yeah.
In fact, it's hilarious.
It's hilariously...
It's a joke.
There's
it's a big
fly
joke.
Attacking us. Mm. I feel like it's... God?
If
we're channeling...
flies were just little fairies, we'd feel so bad.
Oh, you're right. Oh, there... Okay, so we have the... Side note. We have these, like... screens on our windows that are metal, and flies get trapped in our house, and we find them in the like cracks of the screen because they're trying to get out, and it is actually really sad.
It's really sad. They die.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Anyway, the plumbing in this house is shit. And
the
pretty
shit
much
does not go down.
Every bathroom has something wrong with it, had something wrong with it. There are four bathrooms, not to brag.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, we were excited about that. And then the bathroom that's right off of our bedroom, the toilet only works 1/10 of the time,
yeah.
I would say.
Which is really challenging when you have someone coming over and you're trying to show them that this doesn't work because you're like, look, it doesn't work. Then it flushes perfectly. They're like, let's try again. It works.
That's happened twice now with two different plumbers.
What's up with that? Well, it's like the toilet is plumber shy.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. What are you saying? Anyway.
Is this a healthy relationship?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to fart.
Okay.
I didn't say I had to.
Okay. Anyway. The toilet doesn't flush upstairs. The drain doesn't drain fast enough for the water in the shower. Mm-hmm. It goes up to our ankles when we're showering. And then on the downstairs bathroom, we don't go in there.
Because it smells horrendous.
It smells like a sewer exploded in there.
Like, I'm literally gagging thinking about it.
It's really gross. We don't know really where it's coming from. Mm. We just know that it's coming from... one of the
depths of hell.
Yeah, it's the showers. Typically, shower drains have traps, much like sinks, where you see like that it has like a.
Is this a plumbing podcast?
A curvy pipe. Okay. It's called a P-trap.
Okay.
Everyone knows the curvy pipe.
I don't know about the curvy pipe.
Come on, under a sink, it's like whoop
whoop. Okay, well, I know that the curvy pipe under a sink, but is that in a shower too?
Yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
You don't see them because it's in the drain under.
Right.
And you don't usually see under a shower.
Okay. Okay.
But everything is supposed to have a trap because otherwise it's a beautiful hole straight to the sewer.
Oh, so then the smells go straight up. But then doesn't the smell? Can't the smell go?
Not be okay.
So for listeners, I went.
Think about this.
Left down. Up.
Okay, yeah, because like smell can go wavy as well. Yeah. However, when
can smell go wavy?
But what's so cool? Okay, this is where I get a little nerdy because it's so exciting to think about. So when you're running water through a pipe that goes like that, think about when the water stops. There's no more water running through anymore.
Okay.
It wouldn't be able to empty all the way.
Right. So
and
the
that
water
acts as a seal.
Okay, so but is it not sealing dirty water?
It's sealing the water that was draining. So yeah,
so
I mean it's
dirty.
Not like it's not it's supposed to be in the drain, but it will eventually go once you run the water again.
Okay.
So it's just it's a really beautiful system.
It's beautiful.
If you think
I'm
about
trying to
it.
Think of it as a metaphor.
Clogs. But good clogs.
Sometimes you gotta bottle it up. Sometimes
shut the fuck up.
Sometimes you gotta trap your piss.
Trap it.
Okay. No, okay. I lost it. I don't think there's a good metaphor for this.
Sometimes it's better to say the thing. No, I don't.
Sometimes
know.
It's better to trap the pee before the if the smell come if you don't okay
if you
the
don't
pee trap
smell.
Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
If the pee trap is the equivalent of emotional intelligence crying.
Okay.
If you don't trap your pee by letting out all your feelings, then the smells are going to come out from the depths of your soul and it's going to intoxicate everyone around you.
All right.
So feel your feelings, trap your pee.
Wait, that's hard. That's a tricky one.
Okay. We can move on.
Anyway,
I think.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, yeah. Have you talked about pee enough? But you're really good at plumbing, and I really appreciate how much you've done for the house to fix it, because or else we would have been screwed at many times when the water would turn off and you would have to go to the climb a ladder and go to the roof, and it was pretty exceptional.
I learned a lot about pumps and tanks.
You're really talented.
Thank you.
Thanks. Another thing that's been on my mind that's like half happening right now is dissociation.
Oh, that's a good word.
Right?
Good word.
I have been dissociated. Mm-hmm. I have been somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Good thing about dissociation, sometimes great time. We're both sober people, and which is something we could talk about too at some point. Sometimes
how dare you?
Sorry. So sometimes dissociation's like the only high I can get. It's like I'm gonna shut my brain off. I'm gonna completely leave my body, mm-hmm. and I am going to sing a song like this. Ready?
Go for it.
Whoa, sing me a song. We're going to the thong and we're going to the beach. We're going to the beach. We're going to the songs and we're singing a song together now. We're dissociated, we're singing. We're dissociated, we're flinging all our thoughts to the mic and thoughts to the audience. We're gonna go to the beach again. So that's what we do.
We do that probably 80% of our time together.
About hours and hours
People
and
ask
hours.
Us, Ellen Ezra, what do you do with your time? We'll see that.
And then what happens is that, like, we'll do that for hours, and then this is what happens next. For the listeners, I'm staring blankly into
space. Just staring.
Yeah.
We do a lot of staring.
Uh-huh.
I don't do a lot of staring.
No, you don't. You do a lot of activities.
I do a lot of crocheting, mm-hmm. a lot of finger-focused mm-hmm. activities.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been obsessed with a game where you make a basketball go through some hoops.
It's a problem. It's called Flappy Dunk.
It's not playing basketball.
No. It's basically Flappy Bird, but instead of like avoiding it, you like jump it through hoops and then you try to get swishes. You get extra points for swishing. And if you have a bunch of swishes in a row, you get more points. And it's like
combo.
I've gathered so many coins on that game. Over 100,000. I had 100,000 last night. Do you know how many times you have to play to reach that?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Every time I look at you, you're playing it.
Yeah.
And it's been like a month.
It's been over a month.
Which normally I feel like things don't last that long.
No, they don't.
I keep getting surprised every time I see you playing it. Yeah. I'm like, wow, still?
Yeah. My first.
Still interesting to you.
Well, my first conscious hyperfixation was baking, which I got into after I had my gender-affirming hairline surgery. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly traumatic. During the surgery, you have to be awake, but they had Netflix, so I put on Julie and Julia. Getting stabbed in the head 4,000 times while they're counting out loud, watching Meryl Streep kick cooking, I trauma bonded. I left that place. I sobbed in your arms.
And
I think
we
I had McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said yeah,
this was years ago. Dogs, enough.
Enough.
Are you going to make an appearance, dogs?
Hi, Winnie.
Hi, Winnie. So I trauma bonded with Julie and Julia. And so I got really into baking. And the thing is, baking was a vehicle for dissociation because I was like, okay, these are things I can control.
But then I'm going to just interrupt you because you would dissociate during the baking,
mm-hmm.
but then something would go horribly wrong and then you would be absolutely
crushed.
Do
you know how many times it took me to make chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
There was one time I forgot to add the sugar.
And this was a time where you were trying to film the entire process.
I filmed
for some content
for hours, and honestly, that's probably why I forgot the sugar, because I was really distracted. Hello, Winnie. Are you in the fan? Is your dog Winnie? Is Winnie Winnie the Pooh? Is your dog?
I love you.
Yeah, that was so depressing. There's actually a video which maybe we'll overlay or share some point. Maybe it'll be an exclusive that of you trying the cookie dough and being like.
Salty.
It's a little. It's salty. And then me realizing I forgot to put the sugar. And then that's when everything came crumbling down. And it was because this was how I was finding a sense of control by being like, okay, I know if I measure these ingredients and put them in, like they'll behave a certain way. And I was infuriated because I was like, I followed the directions perfectly. Why isn't it behaving the right way? This is when I started to realize that I have OCD. Yeah, it's right, Winnie. Dissociation has been a powerful tool. And we talk about dissociation as not necessarily always being a negative thing.
My therapist actually gave me that one, that little nugget. Was like, I think when I first started seeing my therapist, shout out Myra, I love you.
Woohoo! We love Myra.
And we love you. She used to kind of acknowledge that the amount of pathologizing that I would do about my, like, just my behavior in general. I think over the course of my lifetime, having people like constantly criticizing me and telling me what I was doing wrong or different than most people, I started kind of like thinking, oh, there's something deeply wrong with me, and let's just like name it something. Let's just call it something.
Yeah.
And so with the association, that was one thing that was coming up a lot. And she kind of helped me reframe it by being like, well, isn't it kind of cool that your body can just like help you, protect you from things that you're not ready to feel quite yet? And seeing it in that way was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet. Like, it's not trying to hurt me. It doesn't know that I don't necessarily want to feel like I'm not a person. But, you know, it also, like, sometimes, like, especially after we had to leave our home, in before we moved into this one, I was not ready to process all of the feelings that were coming up or that would have come up if I was
ready too to big. Process.
They were just too big, and we had stuff to do.
Yeah. I think like the thing that we try to maintain that I've noticed is that like an awareness of what's happening. Is it still recording?
Yeah, that's awesome. I just keep checking
it. Yeah, thank God. yeah, we try to maintain this the awareness that this is what's happening, that we are putting it aside to move through the world and to get through this hard time, knowing that this is not where we're going to land, that this is just a tool we are using to make it through.
Right.
And then when we are ready to feel all of these hard feelings, they will come up.
Yeah.
And wow, have they come up.
Wow, have they.
And it's been, I think, maybe the hardest time in our relationship.
Maybe.
One of them.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Your hair surgery recovery
was... That was really challenging.
Different, for sure.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
I was somewhere else.
You were so somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
This maybe, I think, this is, I don't know.
Close second.
For sure. And just the way that I think, though, what's different is that we have built such an incredible framework for how to move through this together, how to hold space for each other and for our hard feelings and to feel supported and not take things personally. And while just moving through the dissociation together and being aware, wow, we're going to dissociate today. And ultimately, that's okay. But what I notice is that we rarely let ourselves sink into a hole. One of us will get energy at some point and you'll be like, get up. Yeah. We're getting up. It's like 1:30 p.m. Get up. Okay, I'm getting up. And then all of a sudden, like, those are the two words that magically give me the energy to get up.
Yeah.
Which I'm very grateful for. Yeah. Except for the times it doesn't.
Except for when you're like, I'm still good. I'm sleeping.
I am bed right now. Yeah. But I'm really proud of how we moved through this together.
Me too. I think what I'm noticing is that I'm having a hard time, like, going into details right now about what actually went down.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I feel like still kind of protective over like the people involved that aren't us.
Yeah, I understand.
But
I think that's a really healthy and fair thing.
Yeah, but I also like want to get more and more comfortable being candid on here. And if we feel the need to unpack certain things that we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure as time passes, we'll be able to kind of tell more details about what happened.
Speak in less generalization.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like the podcast is like a new friend.
Yeah, for sure.
That we're like just kind of, even though normally when we meet new friends, we tell them our entire life stories.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah. I guess the like broad strokes is that we were living in a home, and because of a traumatic event that triggered both of us in very special ways, we were displaced and had to run away and find a new home last minute. And it was jarring and terrifying. And
we had been trying to make this house our home for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And it's a place that I grew up going to since I was a kid. And it was a very loaded scenario.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I think since then it's just been like kind of, it's been both healing from that experience and also like uncovering the layers of the experience. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's like, some days I feel like taking two steps forward and then the next day it's a step back or five steps back. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredibly nonlinear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Today I feel okay.
Yeah. I feel good doing this.
Yeah.
And I think it feels nice to have this as an outlet, because I think like social media content requires like so many mind tricks of figuring out how to make something engaging and also authentic and effective. And especially now when we're like trying to make money because we have to pay rent, there are so many things at play, and to just have a place where we can sit and talk, it's less of a leap from where we are, where we can just sit where we are and speak from where we are and then reach a different place because we're talking and share that without like feeling the need to curate it in this way that I've grown to resent over the years.
Yeah. You and I both have grown to resent in different ways.
Yeah.
I think, because our content has been historically very different.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing we both have in common is that we can't really be depressed.
For sure.
To make the
content. While making content, which is challenging. Unless I'm like sharing a heartfelt thing, which I don't always have the energy to do.
It's a very vulnerable experience to be like, let me tell you the exact thing that I'm going through right now.
Yeah. But
in detail.
I feel like this morning I woke up and I felt kind of like aimless. I was like, I just feel like I have skill sets that I'm not utilizing. And I feel like I used to have such a strong sense of purpose when I was making content, and I don't know what to do with my days. Like, I don't know how to spend it. There's nothing to do today. And so when you said, let's do this, it literally smacked me in the face, as in like, wow, okay, all of my fears and the pressure that I put on myself of putting out something that's high quality and curated. And because I, like, as my following has grown, I've felt more pressure to be more professional. And as it's become a main source of income that has, since this recent administration, dwindled to like little to nothing. Like, it's been just like an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Where I feel like it's given me so much, and it's also taken so much energy from me. And sometimes it gives back what I'm putting in, and right now it's not.
And it's a mystery. And the more you try to interpret what it is that you did or didn't do right or wrong, like, the crazier I feel. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
For sure.
And like, there are some times when I'll like know exactly what I should do, like to promote my clothing line or to, you know, to feel better about my relationship with social media or whatever. And it's typically being vulnerable, and typically, you know, I know what to do, but I don't always have the energy to do it.
To get there, yeah.
And so sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm just going to make something goofy.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that hits and sometimes it doesn't. And then it's like, well, I knew what I was supposed to do.
And I did it.
And I did it. Or I didn't, you know, it's crazy. It's like, there's no really winning when you try to interpret.
Exactly. So I think I feel excited and hopeful about this being a journey of like reclaiming our creativity and reclaiming having a voice of sorts and talking about things that are both silly soupy doopy poopy 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 stew. Poopy poop stew. Mm-hmm. And also stuff that makes me want to cry, 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 cry. What else is on your mind?
Let me look at my list.
Whip out your list.
No, whip it out.
Whip it. Whip out some of that loose meat.
Oh, plant murder.
Oh, listen, did you kill your plants?
I kill plants.
No, I'm taking no accountability.
L doesn't water the plants. Unfortunately. At all, so I could just say that L always kills the plants.
Unfortunately, you could say
if
that.
If they die.
Here's the thing. I don't never know. Take responsibility for I them. Don't have a green thumb. My thumbs are not green. My thumbs are this color. You see that? White. My thumbs are white. They're not green. I don't know what it is about me. I love a plant. Look at that. That's beautiful. Gorgeous. There's a plant right behind us.
I love it.
Absolutely stunning.
I kept that one alive.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. I think I don't know what do you think it is?
You don't like getting dirty.
Exactly.
But it's not, doesn't take much to water a plant.
No, pretty easy to water a plant.
It doesn't make you dirty.
You know what it is?
What is it?
I had a roommate.
Oh, my God.
Who? No. Well, they were out of town. They asked me to water the plants. And then I found out they were spying on me with cameras. And so even after that, I kept watering the plants for the sake of the plants' sake, because I was like, well, the plants didn't spy on me. And then when I confronted them
about that,
I don't. Oh my God. Okay, that's why. No. I developed a resentment over having to water these plants because I was like, you don't even deserve my help. You invaded my privacy and won't hold accountability. So that. Yeah, that I think that's where it is. Where like I was like walking by the cameras, watering the plants, flipping off the cameras, and that's the energy that comes up in me mm-hmm. when I'm asked to water a plant.
Wow, that's different. And I believe women.
I gotta work on me.
Well, yeah. Listen, these plants. I feel particularly attached to them mm-hmm. because we got them recently and yeah. they're not dead yet, mm-mm. but the one in our bedroom is not happy where it is.
Yeah.
I squished that fucking thing into that pot. Yeah. Like it does not want to be in there.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that just feels a little guilty because mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing and mm-hmm. then yet here I was doing it anyway. Yeah.
You're witnessing the consequences.
Exactly. And I'm like, I was just hoping mm-hmm. and praying like yeah. a water heater that just magically started working again
right.
after I broke it. Like I like when things just fix themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you really had the will to live, then you would figure
Prove it.
It out.
Prove it.
I'm talking to the plant. I'm talking to the plant.
Yeah, no, this is good logic.
Thank you. It's like natural selection. Like, mm-hmm. I should be able to squeeze your roots into sure. this tiny pot that
and
you don't want to be in.
And you should be able to deal with it.
Deal with it.
You sound like a right-wing conservative.
You fucking snowflake, bitch.
Snowflake, pothos. What's your pronouns? Fern.
Fat and earn.
Fat and earn.
I do kill ferns, and mm-hmm. people always say they're the easiest fucking plant to keep alive. I do not have that experience
no.
with ferns.
Fern churn.
Fern churn not. I typically kill them.
Yeah.
And I really resent that.
Did you read the book Where the Red Fern Grows?
I was supposed to.
Ugh.
I never read a single book for school.
I read, I think, one.
Which one?
It was called Monkeys. It's not even
a school book.
No, it's not even like one that was popular. For some reason, I just had extra energy and I decided to read it. But this was before AI. This was before chat. Where we use Spark Notes. Did you have Spark Notes?
That's the only way that I yeah. passed English.
Of course. Me too. But the thing is, like, you had to be very tactful because, of course, the English teachers knew about Spark Notes. So you had yeah. to, like...
Thesaurus.com also worked.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know? What's another word yeah. for this? Let me just
In
change
middle
the...
school, I convinced a teacher that I read Grapes of Wrath. I didn't read Grapes. That's a long book.
Why did people try to make us read things that we didn't want to read?
Yeah. Shut well, up. I chose that one because I was an overachiever with who didn't actually know how to execute. So the thing is, I wanted everyone to believe I was exceptional, but I was too depressed and too much of a perfectionist to actually do the work.
Sure.
But the thing is, it still was work to read the spark notes and then make it. It was its own cheating in high school. Here, there's Teddy. You're in our frame.
Hi, Teddy.
Is that our dog? The art of cheating in high school. Let's talk about it. I cheated in high school. I did it. I think a lot of us did. I won't speak for anyone else, but there were many times that I cheated in high school, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Am I going to get arrested for this?
No.
We're in Mexico. actually, we're in. I don't want to die. No, I'm just kidding.
We've been talking about being in Mexico this whole time.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so.
I know we're here.
I was so depressed and dissociated, circling back to dissociation, in high school because I was a girl trying to be a J. Crew boy.
You're doing a good job on the outside.
I was doing a great job on the outside. Everything was about presentation for me. Everything was about how does it look. It wasn't about like what is the experience?
Right.
So I was definitely like avoiding the experience of reading a book and the experience of writing a paper. And I just wanted to make it look perfect. And all I cared about.
So it was
about,
gibberish. You just typed it, but it was like beautiful paragraphs.
It was Simlish. Yeah. No, that's the thing. All
you
I
did indent every paragraph.
Oh, I sure did. Oh, I knew ALS. What is it?
ALS.
What is it?
Ice bucket challenge.
No. Wait, what is it? Our dog.
I don't fucking know. I remember when people, I got to public high school after they were taught that.
Right.
So
right.
I got there and then they were like, of course, you know. Blah, blah, blah,
of formatting. Course you know that.
Come again? I just came from a school that didn't give me a single grade.
Right. Teddy trying to get our attention. You want to go outside?
What do you want?
What do you want, baby?
His head is a triangle.
Yeah.
Because of his ears.
Look at the camera. Look at the people.
Look at him.
Look.
Look. He doesn't know about that. He doesn't know that.
Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. You can do it. Yay!
He's so tall.
Tedriana, superstar. Jumping on couches and being who you are. Love you, baby. You're 100 pounds tall. I'll stop right there. I'll stop while I'm ahead. Anyway, I was a perfectionist without the ability to actually perform the perfection.
You just had to believe it.
I just had to believe it. Yeah, so it was problematic, and I still probably carry some shame about that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Did you cheat?
I don't even know. I don't even know what I was doing.
Yeah, I?
I was ditching. I went to 4 different high schools in my 4 years. It just was...
It's amazing.
It's kind of a blur, but it also feels like an entire lifetime.
Right.
You know, like, I think I witnessed a lot of other people going through high school and having it just be, like, pretty neutral, like, mm-hmm. pretty normal mm-hmm. vibes. Like, oh, that just went by pretty fast.
Right.
And for me, I remember just being, like, every day is a waking nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Like, I
felt that, too, not gonna lie.
Like, it was not easy. There wasn't, like... I didn't have that mm-hmm. sort of like experience where, you know, like I could just not study and then get an A on the test. Mm-hmm. Like I acted like that. Though.
Right.
And
right.
I would get my test back.
Right.
And it would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was English. English, yeah. I could cheat. But
that
like,
was me with math.
Math, I could not do that.
Because
with.
For math, there's not really a way to cheat because like you've got to like. Like, because you have to do show your work, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That was the one that was hard.
Idiot. Like
so math, I excelled at because I was like, okay, well, I think also like my brain works better for math.
Yeah. In the portal, you know, and mm-hmm. like in like a portal where you could see all your grades and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember that?
I still have nightmares about that portal.
Me too. That portal showed that I had an F-. In math.
Was that even possible?
Exactly. The teacher even was like, how is this possible? I was like, wow. Well, I figured out a way to have an F-.
Congratulations.
But I ended up passing that class with a C+ because
Why?
Of charm.
Yeah, totally.
Most of the like like, I didn't really fail any classes in high school. I should have failed so many of them. But I was just really charming and personable. I really gave a shit about my teachers' lives. And I always befriended my teachers in a really, like, genuine way. And so they'd be like, Ezra, you're so smart. Why don't you do the homework? And then I'd be like, you're silly.
How's your wife? But I'm Chad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There was this moment where I won't name names, but I had a friend in middle school.
Barbara Duncan.
His name was Barbara Duncan. And there was a moment where he was like, he was like the class clown, but not in an annoying way, in like a really charming, funny way. All the teachers loved him. He was the kind of person who made everyone feel like they were the most special person in the world. Right. And there was a moment in Spanish class where he took a chair, and you know how it was like, it has like four legs, like a chair.
I never heard of that one. I never heard of
this. No, the chair has four legs. Anyway, he put the chair, like the seat of the chair, on his stomach so the floor legs were sticking out. And he ran up to our teacher and went, "Milk me!" And I feel like in any other school, like if it was any other person, they would have gotten detention.
Yeah.
But this person...
Did the teacher milk him?
No. The teacher didn't milk him, but God sure did.
Well... Similarly, with chairs and teachers,
tell me.
I have a story.
Give me
the
story.
There was one time, I'm going to name names, Cameron Raymock.
Wow.
He was a guy that I had a crush on for many years in school. This was at my weird Montessori-esque school that I went to for 7 years. I was a freshman in high school, I believe, and we were in Spanish class, and the Spanish teacher, Kendra, was like kind of a pushover, and I really had a lot of fun with her because she never had the gumption, the tits.
Wait, Kendra?
Kendra.
To me, that's the name of that from, we watched the House Bunny last night. Great film.
Kendra
is one of the Playboy bunnies, who's like a real Playboy bunny in that movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Anyway, that's what that name brings up for me.
Well, it's my Spanish teacher.
Okay. Did she
speak Spanish? She was a white woman, and she didn't have a great accent, I will say.
Okay.
But whatever, it's fine. She was meek. She was terrified of me. And I was this like bold bitch little kid who just, I was really loud, obnoxious. I took control of the room a lot of the time. I was not sitting down in my chair. I was talking to Cameron. Mm-hmm. We were flirting, I thought. And then I had just gotten a tick bite in my arm, which I think I did tell
just
you about.
Just then?
Or no, what? Like a couple days before. Okay. So I had this scab. And I was like telling him the story.
Mm.
And he was like, wow, that's like a pretty big like mark.
Wow.
Or he said, wow, it's really big. And then he pointed at my boobs and said, actually, they're really small. And then everyone laughed.
About you having small boobs.
Mm-hmm. And I...
Mosquito bites.
Fucking lost it.
Oh, no.
And I took my heel and I jammed it right into his penis and balls.
Wow.
And he was sitting like this on the couch.
Wow, for sure.
And then he, slumped down onto the ground, and then I took an ottoman, because it was one of those schools with the couches and ottomans, and I threw it onto his body.
Was it like a pillow ottoman, or was it like...
I threw the bottom onto him, like, just with legs.
Ouch.
And
did
then
it hurt him?
I threw a chair onto the ottoman, and he just kept getting hurt.
Wow, so he got
real
hurt.
And then I
hurt.
Started kicking him in the stomach balls and in the chest. While he was underneath.
Wow, you beat this kid up.
I beat him up in front of the whole class and in front of Kendra, who was screaming and saying, please stop, please stop.
I cannot imagine.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
I cannot imagine Kendra, the Playboy bunny.
Like, por favor.
Por favor, no.
No, por favor. And then he got detention. No, he got suspended. And you didn't, I got nothing.
You got off scot-free.
I got nothing. That my kind dad of rocks. Also called his mother and yelled at her in front of me. So I heard the whole thing. He wow. screamed at
oh
his mother.
Oh my God, wow.
And she was a local radio host. Catherine.
Wow.
Catherine Ramos.
So she might be tuning in.
Tuning in.
Well, I had a
your
moment.
Son's a dick.
I had a moment.
No, he ended up being nice in
he
the
grew
end.
Up.
Yeah.
Good for you, Cameron. I grew up in middle school. There was this guy who came up behind me, and I was sitting in a chair before school in the cafeteria. We would hang out in the cafeteria before the roll. And he put his leg up on me and then humped me in the chair. And this is at a time when in health class, Mrs. Rogers had just taught us about sexual harassment.
Oh, wow.
So it was fresh in my mind, and I thought, I'm being sexually harassed right now. I'm being, oh my God, this is what, this
Wait,
is how this happens.
This?
I was like seventh grade.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 12 years old. And
is
so
this
I went.
When you had like your swoopy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was trying to have the Justin Bieber swoop,
but it was a little wavy.
It was too wavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like really chubby and like a theater kid and just really dorky.
I'm being sexually harassed.
Help me. Help, Miss Rogers. And Miss Rogers was iconic. We were obsessed with her. Her hair was perfectly like.
Uh-huh.
She had like a bob that was like perfectly
it went under.
Rolled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Blow dried like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Round
she,
brush.
Yeah, she must have done it every day. Mm-hmm. She was iconic. And she taught us about some imagine teaching middle schoolers about syphilis. That's crazy. Like, honestly, maybe my worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But she held that position with power and grace. I told her, I've been sexually harassed. And so the principal called me to the office. There he was. Sitting there crying. And she said, say sorry.
Ah!
And then she made him say sorry to me. And then ever since, whenever I would run into his mom in Trader Joe's in my hometown, she would say, my son's not a dick anymore. I know he was a little douche when we were in middle school, but he's grown up every time.
Why'd you run into her so much in Trader Joe's?
I don't know. It just would happen.
There's always that one person you just always run into
Yeah,
at Trader
for
Joe's.
Some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. I don't know if that was sexual harassment or just... I mean, it was...
It sure was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got humped non-consensually.
I did get humped, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't think he was trying to embarrass me.
That's rape culture that you even had to question whether that was sexual harassment.
You're
and
right.
That's what we live in today, still.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about now we talk about things that we're in love with.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
Do you want to start or me?
I'll start.
So, because this is Trans in Love, the podcast,
Trans
and we're
going
to talk about
podcast.
Things that we're in love with. Because what are we in love with?
I want to extrapolate on love for
okay.
a moment,
yes.
for a brief moment.
Mm-hmm. Let's extrap.
For me, love is the feeling that I get when I'm fully embodying whatever it is that is coming up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, it doesn't always mean romance. It doesn't always mean happiness or joy.
Mm-hmm.
It means like being on my own team and like allowing myself to be the human that I am
mm-hmm.
in each and every moment. And that's something that I do have control and power over, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I just want that to be like, I want to set that precedent. That
absolutely.
We're not always going to be happy or joyful or grateful even on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about being as human as humanly mm-hmm. possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my belief is that like, and I've said this, if you follow me for a long time, I've said this, is that like love isn't something we do. Love is what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are fully in alignment with ourselves and honoring physically, spiritually, emotionally, what's coming up for us,
mm-hmm.
we naturally gravitate towards things that spark the same feeling that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we love. It's that relationship between
yeah.
us and the state of being in love,
mm-hmm.
in our truth,
yeah.
and then relating to things that bring up anything for us,
right.
that make our bodies tickle. So when we say we're trans in love, yes, we're in love with each other, but we are operating
in love. That was the whole, like, that's the whole thing
yeah.
about the title that's so genius.
Mm-hmm.
IMO.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's why our relationship has worked so well thus far, 3 years in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it's very clear we're in love. Mm-hmm. It's very clear from, like, an objective standpoint that, like, that this is a very loving, supportive relationship.
Yeah.
And also, like, we have always prioritized our relationship with ourselves above everything else.
Absolutely.
Which is why it seems to work so well, I think.
Yeah. It's why we can meet ourselves, meet each other.
Right. Because even when we're not feeling 100% tip-top shape, which is often.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think because we have that sort of order of operations, math, PEMDAS, am I right?
PEMDAS, for sure.
Remember PEMDAS?
Circling it back to math. No, seems you got to circle it back to loose meat somehow.
Somehow it comes back to loose meat.
Okay.
But because of that sort of order of operations, I think that's a way that we have managed to not really take out a frustration on each other ever.
Ever
in our relationship.
Yeah, because we know what kind of outward action is in alignment with our highest truth. Mm-hmm. And we know if we take an action that isn't in alignment with our highest truth, then we'll hold accountability for that.
Yeah.
Because we know what it feels like to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's largely because we're trans.
Yeah.
Because that even we were taught and bred to perform gender that was dissonant with our experience of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once we reclaimed ourselves and aligned our outward expressions of existence with our love and our truth, now we know when we are behaving in integrity and truth and love and when we're not.
Yeah.
And I think accountability is so sexy there.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know ourselves so well, we're able to love each other so deeply.
Yeah. 100%. I think like the whole like mystery of it all for most people is that sort of missing part of not having to not having had the experience of being so far away from like living authentically or whatever. Like I think most people tend to just get away with not really getting to know themselves that well because they aren't trans.
Yeah, and who they are is close enough.
Yeah,
like outwardly to who they have been expected to be.
Right.
So there doesn't have to be this overhaul and like loud, extreme declaration of truth.
Right.
And some people have that.
Yeah, like some people have that.
There's a door for everyone.
Cis girlies who are just a little different.
A little silly.
A little weird.
Cis girls who are silly.
They have to accept themselves as goofy.
As goofy. Or sobriety. Sobriety is
a big one. That's why most of my friends in sobriety, in like 12-step programs, have been cis people. But they somehow really get it.
Yeah.
And they're all goofy, weird, you know, quirky girlies.
Because it's like you realize that your outward expressions of yourself are ultimately harming you.
Yeah.
And then trying to align, like, and make decisions from a place of, like, integrity and truth, like, instead of dissociation and expectation and
obligation. All that stuff. Yeah.
All that stuff. Anyway, so what are we in love with right now?
I think right now I'm in love with the idea of being a fucking mess. And a fucking mess to me is I have a pretty high standard for myself, even as a mess. But I think that allowing myself the freedom to just, you know, kind of like dissociate, play Sims, which is something I'm really into right now or have been into, and just make them have really big dicks and tits and then have them fuck each other. And then I'm just like, wow, now they're all having group sex.
Not even horny, just...
No, I don't jerk off to it. That's disgusting. No, I'm just kidding. No kink shaming, but I just don't think it's that. It's just not about that for me.
It's just fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It's the extreme ness.
Yeah,
it,
and it's just the like sort of like what can I make them do?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Right, totally.
Having control over something
for sure.
Really, just obvious going on.
Yeah,
it's but pretty obvious. But that, and then like I'm eating anything I want, and that's really big for me. Mm-hmm. And like I don't know, there's certain things that I've restricted myself from doing, like having a game, like playing a game that doesn't really produce anything or right. do anything for me. And then like stuff like eating cinnamon rolls mm-hmm. that I haven't let myself really do that much. Mm-hmm. That I'm sort of trying to just be really gentle.
Yeah.
So I'm in love with the freedom to yeah. just be kind of messy yeah. right now.
I love that.
Thank you.
I'm in love with cult documentaries.
You are.
I can't get enough of them.
We
Yours
can't
was really
get
beautiful
enough.
And deep. This is what's come up for me. These cult documentaries are so fascinating.
They are.
It's the spiritual ones, the new age spiritual ones, because they use language that actually resonates with me. And mm-hmm. then you can see how they use that to manipulate people and detach them from their fear center. So then they ignore all of the cues of what's going wrong, which is so fascinating.
We just watched The Vow.
The Vow.
And it's wow. really good. Highly recommend, especially if you have history with self-help
mm-hmm.
books.
Yeah, self-help is a prison.
It's such a prison.
They require you to think you're fundamentally broken always, so then you're always in need of, for these groups, paying money and investing in these companies.
Yeah.
It is so fascinating, and I think it resonates a lot with me because growing up in musical theater and going to a musical theater conservatory, I've realized a lot of the correlations.
Mm.
Assigning magical qualities
yeah.
to your teachers, being in control under like their control, feeling like you'll be punished for leaving, meaning you're literally living there and your entire community and your friends are in this.
Yeah, whoa, what yeah. a fucking cult.
It really is. And then they literally, part of the curriculum was teaching you to detach from your fear. So when our teacher would use a knife up against someone's throat as a way to teach them a tactic in a scene, a real kitchen knife, we would think, wow, like my fear
wow,
is
acting.
A problem. Yes, this is like horrifying.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why it's been resonating with me is because I've needed to process some of that trauma. And I'm just like, there's something like watching it happen and how it functions gives me a sense of control
yeah.
over that when I was in it and felt out of control of it. Also, I'm in love with the idea of FFS,
aww.
Which I think maybe next time we can talk more about
surgeries.
In surgeries, I love
I think
that.
That's a fun one. We could mm-hmm. we could call it the surgery.
The surgery.
You
Our
know,
cat just got the surgery last
Bunny
night.
Bunny just got their balls chopped off.
Bunny is a woman now.
Finally.
Finally.
I think Bunny is going to change drastically.
I hope so. I love him. He's cuddly, and then sometimes he'll just go like.
He made me bleed last night.
Real bad.
Really bad before bed.
Yeah.
I had to put Band-Aids on.
Anyway.
We have an abusive relationship with our cat. And
yeah, but I think that's a pretty
common
experience.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Especially having the contrast of two mm-hmm. dogs who are obsessed with us. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think like the cult documentary front, I think mm-hmm. they're speaking to me a lot too because there was a time when I was both my own cult leader
mm.
and also my like trapped in the cult
mm-hmm.
follower.
For sure.
I was both
mm-hmm.
and I was horrifying and I was yeah. horrified.
Yeah.
And I was alone. I was mm-hmm. living with my grandmother who I didn't really have like much of a friendship with. I loved her, but she was really mean. She's dead now. Don't worry. I love her though.
Yeah.
I still do.
We love her.
We love Grandma Kay. But, I was just very alone during that time. I was getting sober and I was reading a lot of self-help books. And it was like, I started like having very extreme opinions mm-hmm. about reality mm-hmm. and what, and how magical I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think reading like the whole like Abraham Hicks,
yeah.
Esther Hicks book.
That's a slippery slope.
Was a really slippery slope because I yeah. think it could be really helpful
mm-hmm.
to be like, wow,
I'm in control.
I am
literally.
Magical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in control. Vibration is mm-hmm. so powerful. And like, wow, like there's so much I could do to like mm-hmm. change my experience. And like, it honestly, that book is very similar to what they taught in The Vow.
Oh, yeah.
just in the sense that, like, we have control over our emotions
right.
at all times.
Right. And you, right.
That is what they
yeah.
basically say.
It just feels like just not human.
It's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair to hold ourselves to such a high standard. Yeah. Even if it's true, I don't care if mm-hmm. it's true or not. Yeah. I don't want yeah. to live in that reality
yeah.
where I have complete control over mm-hmm. everything that I feel.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it allows enough humility mm-hmm. and gives ourselves enough grace to be as flawed as we definitely. Inevitably are.
And also to reasonably respond to global trauma,
yeah.
which is the core of most anxiety
yeah.
and depression.
For sure.
It's like, I got into the cycle where I would feel so deeply affected by politics and still do. But then I would get into the cycle where then I would beat myself up thinking, gosh, I need to get my vibration high or mm-hmm. else now I'm going to be punished even more. I'm not
right.
going to, my dreams aren't going to come true because I'm depressed because of the state of the world.
Right.
That's not.
I have to rise above it so that I can be of assistance
that
to this
That can't
thing.
Be the way the world works.
No.
I think that the magic of the world is the fact that we make meaning out of things
mm-hmm.
and that's the control we have is we yeah. can decide what things mean
mm-hmm.
based on what feels the most true and most good for us.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, or good meaning most right, most correct, most in alignment. Like, and so I think that's where my power lies now. Not like following some rules that someone else granted bestowed upon me, but actually questioning and living by rules that I have found over the years bring me more closely in alignment.
Yeah. And I feel like those times that we're talking about mm-hmm. where we were both kind of in that self-help trap,
mm-hmm.
it was a really important time for me to go through like learning what it was that did resonate, what
yeah.
didn't resonate. And I think anybody who is trying to create a curriculum or a philosophy on mm-hmm. how to live life in a way mm-hmm. that doesn't hurt as bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine arriving there
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, if I just like think about what I'm thinking about and control my thoughts, then I can control my experiences
mm-hmm.
and then control my feelings. And
right.
then I'll never have to feel bad
again. Yeah. That's the promise they give you.
And that's the thing. Like mm-hmm. I know why people want that
mm-hmm.
because I want that. Everyone wants that.
Yeah.
Of course. But
well, they think they want that.
Right. And then in reality, it's not possible.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
it's not possible. And it also completely numbs us from the things that feel good.
Right. And then when we can't feel bad, we can't mm-hmm. really feel that good. And
yeah.
then it's just sort of this weird cycle of being afraid of feeling bad
mm-hmm.
and then pretending or trying to like gaslight ourselves into thinking that we're high vibe.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't want to be unaffected
no.
by the tragedies of the world. I want to feel grief because the grief is the other side of love.
It's being human.
Yes.
It's the full range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another thing that like I remember when I was in early sobriety starting to feel again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa. This is what I was so afraid of
mm-hmm.
my whole life was feeling feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feeling bad. And I remember like one of the first times that I ever really felt like, look at this thing.
There's a Winnie tail.
Like feeling bad and then and then not fighting it and
mm-hmm.
letting it happen. And then being like, oh my God, this is being a human being.
Right.
Like
for
this
sure.
is really being alive.
Yeah.
And then enjoying the experience of just like feeling like absolute
yeah.
garbage.
Because the resistance to the feelings is suffering.
Yeah, that's the suffering.
And that's what creates anxiety too,
yeah.
I believe. I've noticed when I feel anxious, it's because there's a big feeling that I haven't felt that needs to be processed.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing is, we sound like two self-help gurus often.
We sure to join our cults for only $599 a minute.
That would be so good.
That would be awesome.
Oh my God, imagine.
Oh.
Whenever we're watching these documentaries, we like all the time.
Yeah.
We're just like, we should start a cult.
No, but we're not going to.
We're not going to. We won't, but we
just
could.
Join our Patreon.
Join our Patreon. We're going to make a Patreon.
No,
you should join
yet,
it.
But
listen.
I love you.
I love you so much.
You're the love of my life.
You're the love of mine.
You are what love feels like.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
You are so beautiful.
You are the
dreams when I was weak. You were the clip when I wasn't flicked. You were my heart when I couldn't lie. When life was quiet, I wanted to buy. You give me strength when I'm alone. You gave me faith because you eat cheese. I'm everything I am because you fucked me.
Wow. That was great.
I think that's a good way to end it.
That was good.
Anyway, we'll come back maybe next week.
Join our Patreon if you want to see this in a video format.
Yeah.
And follow us on the internet at our respective platforms, Ezra Michelle Music and El Duran.
Yeah, and if you're on our Patreon, feel free to come on, dogs, enough. They're getting restless. If you're on our Patreon, feel free to ask us questions and stuff. Maybe we'll talk about it here. That could be a cool idea.
Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Me too.
Yeah, we can get a little question about love.
Hey.
You wondering about love?
I love you.
I love you.
And I love you.
And I'm you. I am you. Think about that.
And
join our cult.
Skeen. Scene. Trans in love. Take an hour. Say it.